also had a car washing device. Starting with N-O. I've got no idea on that one. A car washing device? Here's Nick and Wes Mifflin. A tiny biting bug. That's a good one. That's a no-see-um. A no-see-um. So I think we've cleaned up all of the ones that we've given to you. Steve says, a humor substitute for a snake would be nope, rope. Thank you. Oh, and Steve and Sharon came up with Nostradamus. And the French expression noblesse oblige, nobility extends beyond entitlement. And we have a few more to, the car wash. Gail got it. Nozzle with the soft O there. That's great. Steve and Sharon mentioned that. Mike mentioned that Cora had note in mind. And Mike's clue that he gave earlier, let me get to that, it was a good clue. What the richest lack but the poorest have, that was a good riddle. He was thinking of nothing. And Alan also got nozzle, and that closes out a fun game. It's fun to play along together on a Saturday morning. Now stick around. Our Youth Express segment has a number of great guests today. We are going to talk with some students from the Homewood Brushton Y about a program they've done to create peace. We also have a student who has been leading a nonprofit effort locally that's tied into a national group to distribute over 10,000 books on economics and public health to 7 African continents. And then after our Youth Express Hour, we have more in our final hour today, including a women's barbershop style chorus. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia Mountain Streams Radio.org, and Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, plus SLVRadio.org/radio.
Town and village knows this boy by now. There's a way to recognize him, let me tell you how. If your path at midnight dark by graveyard goes, and someone whistles, that's Mysterious Mose. And on a dark and stormy night, while the tempest blows, if someone whistles, that's Mysterious Mose. He sees all, knows all, he gets in everywhere. Some night he might wait for you up on the stairs. If you're going down the cellar, walk upon your toes. And if someone whistles, that's Mysterious Mose.
Saturday Light Brigade and Mysterious Mose. Hello to Nick in West Mifflin. Thank you for your text from just a few moments ago. He had the answer of nothing. We got so busy in our last hour. And this often happens. I can't answer every text message, but I hope that you heard us acknowledge you by name. Have you been telling other people about the Saturday Light Brigade? We keep hearing from new listeners, and we're really grateful for that. You may or may not know that this program began in 1978. That's what I said, 1978. There are people who have been with us since the very beginning, and a lot that have been here. They've maybe moved away. They've come back. It's easy to listen no matter where you are online these days. But if you like what you're hearing, and if you have a friend or family member that you think would enjoy SLB along with you, we hope you'll recommend that they tune in. It's especially fun when the puzzles and games are playing, and I know our various interview segments, live music segments are good too. Just let somebody know that they can go to slbradio.org/radio to see all of the different ways you can listen.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Northside Chronicle is a nonprofit community newspaper available in print, digital, and mobile formats that provides coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the Northside Chronicle is available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
Thank you. talk a lot about peace these days. We think about it, we pray for it, we hope for it, and sometimes it seems like there's very little we can do for it. And there is a program called Creating Peace at the Homewood Brushton YMCA that is designed to promote nonviolence, social justice, gender equity, and healing among adolescents, which is a great place to instill these characteristics and values and an active way to lead towards peace. And it's our pleasure to have three young women with us today involved with the program. I'd like to ask you each to introduce yourselves. You can give your name and grade, where you go to school, and if you have any shout outs to anybody here with you today or who might be listening now or later, this is a perfect time to do it. And Simone, let's start with you.
Hi, my name is Simone Harris. I go to Taylor Olderdice, and I'm 15 years old.
And anybody who might be listening at all that you'd like to acknowledge?
Shout out to my mom.
Excellent. And sitting next to you is...
My name is Farron White. Sorry.
That's okay.
And
it's you.
I go to Obama. I'm 15, and I like to shout out Missy and my mom.
It's nice to meet you. It's fun to hear your voice coming back at you like that, isn't it? And let's see who we have next to you.
My name is Lanique White, and I go to Obama, and I'm 14 years old, and I would like to shout out my sister and my mom.
Now, I understand, Simone, you were part of this program last year, so you're in a good position to give us an overview of what the Creating Peace program does, what it's all about. Do you want to share a little bit with us?
So while I was in Creating Peace, we focused on like ways we could put more peace out into our community. We, for our final project, we wanted to take an abandoned house and make it a safe space for teens where we, like, it would be like a lit little lounge, that's what we called it. We would have a PlayStation, like some games you could play, and it would just be like very calm and chill for teens in our community to chill. And like during the program, we learned like I said earlier, ways to put peace out into our community. We did different projects and like activities to like learn how to cope with like violence, to like.
No, you're explaining it really well. What kind of concerns do you have about violence?
My concern is like gun violence and fighting in our communities, because I see a lot of kids my age fighting each other, and it's just like we could like talk that out instead of like using our fist or like hitting each other.
And do you see it among girls as well as boys?
Yes, I see it with girls more than boys sometimes, because like girls, they can be petty.
Did you hear, I want to be sure folks heard you, because I kind of had a feeling that would be your answer. Not that girls are petty, but that girls fight. Girls do fight, if not more, at least as often as boys do. So having girls involved in a program for peaceful relationships is really super important. Farron and Lanique, do you have any thoughts about how violence affects the life of somebody your age?
Yeah, because I feel like everyone has a big life to live instead of using your fists.
And have you witnessed fighting where you wish there wasn't quite as, as much as there is? Do you see fighting?
Yeah, I'm at school.
And what about you? That was fair, and let me turn to Lanique.
I feel like we can handle things a different way, or like talk it out, or like how to, or mediations. I feel like could handle it that way instead of fighting, or like, especially if they was your friends, just handle it different ways.
So if you saw a couple of people fighting to settle their differences, what would you suggest they do instead? Are there techniques in the program that you've identified as ways to try to get over your differences more peacefully?
Talking it out with someone.
That's probably the best one I can think of, is just once you talk about it and mention it, you can actually start to manage it and figure out what is it. Are there any other methods to think through it? One I thought about is maybe agreeing to take a little time, not to address it immediately, but maybe, you know, cooler heads will prevail the next day, rather than dealing with it that very minute, when people are, you know, in the moment of feeling angry. Simone, any other thoughts on from you based on the work you've done?
I feel like we could put more people to, like, sign the petition we made, because, like, we made a petition for our final project based on the Little Lit Lounge. I think we could have more people sign the petition to, like, possibly, like, bring that back up and, like, actually, like, pursue it even more.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, the Little Lit Lounge is this unoccupied house that you were able to convert into a hangout space for teens. And there's a petition. Tell me about the petition.
So the petition, we basically just made a, like, overview of what we wanted to have in our project, and it just, like, described everything that would be in the house and, like, what it was for, the purpose of it, and we just, like, made the petition, made a QR code, and have had people sign it. Wiz Khalifa's mom signed it. A lot of big people signed it. Well, a few, but it was really nice.
This is great. I'm looking at it now. So there is a zine style presentation, and it says, for teens, we need a teen space because it could distract youth from home life and doing bad stuff. Little Lit Lounge. Teens need guidance, security, food, a green space, and, oh wow, this is really beautiful. A recording studio, I'm happy to see that. And then at the end of this, there's a QR code, and that will lead you to where you sign the petition.
Correct.
Wonderful. Do you know how many signatures you have so far?
I don't actually remember, but I think there's 300.
Wow.
Oh, no.
No.
30.
30 is a lot for an effort like this. Santa Ruiz is here. She's not only an old friend, but she is the STEAM program director at the YMCA Homewood Brushton. These girls are doing something amazing. Is there more context you'd like to add to this program?
For sure. Thanks for having us on, Larry. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
So Creating Peace is really a program that's brought to us through the University of Pittsburgh, through their violence intervention and prevention programs. And it is, you know, this is the second year that we've done it, and the way that I see the curriculum, kind of, if I were to zoom out a little bit, it's broken into three different sections. The first four sessions are really introspective. So we dive into who are we? Who are we as individuals? Who are we in understanding gender, understanding our histories? And then we talk about our emotions. And of course, the emotions, you know, they come in big. And what do we know about our emotions? I'm throwing this out to the crowd here.
It really, like, is a resemblance of yourself and how you feel.
For sure. And are they bad?
They could be good or bad.
Yeah. So the emotions that we have, like the really big ones, are signals to our body that there is something that needs to change. right? And so that's where we navigate into like healthy relationships. So we move into the second part of the program where we talk about regulating our emotions with another people in relationship with people. Talk about healthy relationships, and then we'll segue into the Capstone Project, which this cohort will see what they want to do. But it is a creation where they all come together. We'll have a big brainstorming session, and we'll see what happens.
Getting the house amazes me. How did that come about?
Okay, so I love that you're manifesting this house, because though that is the big idea that came out of the group, that it is, you know, in, I don't know, 2 months, not achievable for me to as a facilitator. So what we were able to do was create the zine to advocate for this
okay
space.
And yeah, that is a great thing in and of itself, because I think it's doable. Just like getting along with one another is, for people who fight, is doable if you talk about it. I think achieving this space is doable if you talk about it and advocate for it too. That's just amazing. Do you meet regularly to talk about this project? Like, when? How do you further what it is you're doing? Do you get together after school or during school? When do you work on the Creating Peace project?
We get together after school.
Excellent. And I was noticing these zines, they're all different, but they all basically carry that same message. Those looked like they were a lot of fun to make. Did each of you make, you each have one here, but I imagine you made a lot to distribute. How many did you make? I mean, was it hundreds or dozens?
Yeah, we made hundreds of them.
Wow.
Well, initially we all drew a few, and then later we all drew some part of it and then put it all together in one zine and then distribute them.
Excellent. What a great idea. And I see you've got a big handbook in front of you. Zaina, tell me about that. Is that sort of the instructor's guide for how to carry on a program like this?
For sure. Yeah, so the University of Pittsburgh, you know, this is research that they have done. And it is in, I think the curriculum was, it came out of a program in Africa, actually, where one of Dr. Liz and another organization, Equimundo, they co-created this curriculum together. And so, yes, it is a guide. It's a very fleshed out curriculum.
So it's evidence-based, so you know that it's very likely that this is not something we're just playing at. It's based on programs that are known to work. I'm curious a little bit more about the three of you, just to know a little bit more about each of you. But is there anything else you would like to say about the program itself and why you think it's important, the Creating Peace program? Do you want to jump in, Farron? It looks like you were about to say something.
I feel like the program is for anyone to explain and to make stuff and how to, like,
how does it make you feel when you attend the program?
Happy. I like making new stuff and making projects.
And have you ever arrived feeling one way and then left feeling differently?
Sometimes, but not really.
And anybody else, Simone or Lanique, that you'd like to say about the program itself? If maybe even if the school was considering having a program, why you would recommend that they do it?
I would recommend a school to do a program like this because in schools most people have disputes and fight a lot. So this could help like stop people from fighting and like have them talk it out more instead of like going straight to fighting, because that's where most fights happen.
And any thing that you might want to add, Lanique?
I feel like if you're having a bad day at school and then after school you can just come to this program, and then with Ms. Z, I feel like you can talk about anything with her, and then she brings up the good things or like about emotions and powerful whenever you need to say something or when you shouldn't, and when there's good times and when there's not.
Do you think that adults have a good understanding of why kids fight?
I feel like some adults have a good understanding on why kids fight. Because, like, Ms. Zana, she's easy to talk to. You could, like, tell her why you, like, fought somebody, and, like, she'll help you understand and how, like, to go forward with that. But sometimes some adults will just, like, come at you a certain way for you to, like, think about the situation differently. Like, say if you fought somebody and your principal was just like being mad at both of you, because like as one should, because you fought in school and stuff, because like that causes a big ruckus. But like Ms. Zana, she takes more of a peaceful approach, while some people take more of a like, oh, why'd you do that, you're in trouble now approach.
And when you take the more peaceful approach, is that maybe more successful or long-lasting?
Yeah, it can be. I think it can be for some people. But some people, like, sometimes people need, like, that punishment or something, that time away to, like come forward and, like, move past the situation.
Do you think the program, and Simone, you've been involved now for a couple years, is it making a difference?
I think it is making a difference because it helped, when I was in the program, it helped me like deal with things certain, like to a certain extent. Like if someone was being weird to me, I wouldn't just like be mean to them or something. I would take the more peaceful approach or just like not deal with the person anymore. Like instead of like arguing with them or anything, I would just remove myself.
I wish I knew those kinds of things when I was in middle school or high school. There was really no option other than to allow yourself to be bullied or to try to fight back if you could. It sounds like you're taking a much more mindful approach, just thinking it through, which is really useful. Any thoughts about the difference it might be making for the two of you, Simone and Farron? Farron and Lanique, any thoughts?
About how it makes me feel?
Or about the difference the program might be making in your life or in the life of your peers and the people you interact with.
I feel like it makes a big difference because some people might not talk at school or might not like to talk to people just in general. And then, like, when you go to the Y, you can explain yourself more differently and come out the way you are instead of being, like, an introvert, instead of being more out and talk to more people about how you feel.
That's a really good observation because not everybody is comfortable. It's hard enough to just explain what you're feeling, but in some cases people aren't even comfortable explaining things that are easier to explain because they're not used to speaking out loud or comfortable doing that. What about you, Lanique? Any other thoughts about the benefit and value of what you're doing? They may have all been taken up by this point, but anything else you'd like to add?
No, it's just the same what Farron said.
Yeah, it's so great to have all of you here. Now, I'm curious, two of you are 15, Lanique is 14, all in ninth grade. Have you thought about what you might like to do after you graduate? I'll start with you, Simone.
I think I want to go into a science major, but I'm undecided.
Excellent. And have you thought about it, Farron?
Yes. I want to be a nurse and help people who need help and who really needs it.
Do you know any nurses?
Yes, my cousin's actually a nurse.
It's good to learn more about that. And Lanique, what about you?
I would like to be a veterinarian and help pets that are out that don't have a safe environment or that are out and not safe to just help them out and give them a safe environment.
Well, you all have a lot of empathy. You know, the word empathy, feeling and caring for other people and how they feel. And I'm really glad. I know there's a lot of places you could be on a Saturday morning. I'm glad you came here so that folks listening could learn more about your work. Creating Peace, is there a place people can go to learn more? Going to the Homewood Brush and Wise website, I know, has some information, Zaina.
Yeah, so I'm sure if we go down the rabbit hole of the University of Pittsburgh, you can find some actual background on Creating Peace and how that was developed. But you can always go to the Homewood Brush and YMCA website, and our program is under the Y Creator Space, which is the space that I run. And it's there's a few different programs there, so just click on Creating Peace and learn more.
Thanks to all of you for being here. Anybody forget to say something they wanted to say? Well, thank you for being here today at the Saturday Light Brigade.
Thank you, Larry.
I hope you enjoyed listening and learning from the three people who were just on the air with us moments ago. Sometimes I forget that you might not realize that students like the ones we just featured have never really been in a situation where they've had to speak aloud about the work that they are doing and to share it with us. And I think Simone and Farron and Lanique did an amazing job. And you can learn more about things happening at the Homewood Brush and Y by going to pittsburghymca.org. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade Saturday Mornings from SLB Radio Productions. Now, we are going to shift our attention to seven different countries in Africa, but we're going to start with Allegheny County in Pittsburgh, and a Coolidge scholar by the name of Oyana Kubini. And Oyana is a senior at Fox Chapel Area High School, and she is doing some very interesting work that involves distribution of books to people in Africa. Good morning. Thank you for being with us. Tell us, tell me and folks listening a bit about the work that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure. So I'm involved in this organization known as the Mtindo Network. And the Mtindo Network, it actually started out as kind of an off-route of the Students for Liberty organization there in Africa. There was a philosopher and an economist named George Ayite. He's a very famous Ghanaian economist. And a lot of the students there in Africa, they kind of banded together to advocate for the principles of liberty, economic mobility, capitalism, individual rights, and so on. And two of those people from this group of Students for Liberty, named Dennis Boa Oscar and another one of my friends, Gideon Onduri, they started the Mtindo Network. And the goal and the whole mission of this organization has been to spread the values of individual rights and liberty through books and through lectures by economists, both here in the U.S. and there in Africa as well.
How did you get involved? And this has to be something you've got a passion for. There's many ways you could spend your free time or the time you have, many very valuable charitable ways or in service that you can spend, but this is one that clearly meant a lot to you. So how did that come about?
Yeah, absolutely. So it all started with me actually writing for organizations like the Foundation for Economic Education, and bonding with one of the leaders there, Lawrence Reed. And essentially what I was doing is writing about these same ideas, liberty, individual rights, and so on. But I was writing about it from the perspective of a Ukrainian. So I'm Ukrainian originally. And after 2022, after the war started, I knew that I had a duty to advocate for these values. Everyone in the diaspora has a duty to advocate for these ideas, because my friends, the people that I grew up with, they're literally fighting and risking their lives for these ideas, and it's the least I could do. So I started doing that. And through this organization, the Foundation of Economic Education, these two men from the Mtindo Network, they read my articles and reached out to me saying that we have a lot in common. Wow. Like, and we really need a person in the United States, especially a young person that kind of understands our perspectives, to advocate for us and help grow this organization. Would you be interested? And I said, absolutely, and I went all in.
That's amazing. Tell me where your articles are. Can people read the original articles you were talking about that you've published?
Yeah, so they are on the Foundation for Economic Education site, and there are a few others, like the Eurasia Network, I think, that I've also written for. You could find them online.
So they noticed your articles, and this is the folks at, it's Mtindo Network. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Let me spell it, though. It's M-T-I-N-D-1. Let me get it right. The word M-T-I-N-D-O-N-E-T W-O-R-K. So M-T-I-N-D-O, Matindo Network.org.
That's exactly.
And is Matindo, is that a word? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so Matindo is a word in Swahili, and it can kind of mean two things, but predominantly the way that we use it is to mean movement. This is a movement of young people that are, we have kind of contrarian ideas, in fairness, but we band together because we believe that these are really important values to advocate for, and yeah.
Contrarian ideas within the group, or to how people you are working with might feel?
I would say that just in general with the trends that we're seeing in youth, our ideas are not necessarily very popular per se, because we are big fans of capitalism, and that's kind of, you know, that's a word that some people kind of feel a certain way about.
Well, and things, I think most things taken to the extreme might cause some people to have feelings one way or another. But I think, at least from what I've read about your work, you're simply trying to introduce the concept of how supply and demand works, how free enterprise works, and those sorts of things. And that information, it sounds like, would not be readily available otherwise. So have you identified specific books to send overseas? How did that project come about?
Yeah, so we do have several books that we distribute, many, many books. So for example, there's a guy named Saeftin Amos, and he is affiliated with Columbia University. And he wrote a book on the principles of economics that we distribute. Those are kind of a general outline of the capitalist perspective on all kinds of different economic issues and how individuals play a role in the economy, subjective value, and so on. And then we also have kind of more children's books that we distribute as well. There's a Hawaiian professor that we have worked with to do that. And there's actually a man in Pittsburgh that he's originally from Pittsburgh, Bruce Kerber, who wrote The Divine Economy Theory. And this has really taken off there because it's kind of a cohesive economic model in the sense that it combines spirituality, economics, philosophy all into one kind of integrated system that people can apply to their individual lives and to functions of government.
Do you think it's important to understand these principles, whether you intend to fully adopt them or not? You need to understand them to interact with societies that have capitalism at their core, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's actually true for socialism as well. You need to kind of understand what makes a person think a certain way, what their kind of value hierarchy is, and why they're thinking in that kind of manner to accurately be able to communicate with them and to actually be able to make your points and possibly reach some sort of agreement.
Have you been to Africa as part of the distribution efforts? And tell me where you've gone and how that's gone.
So that is one of my goals, is to go to Africa, but currently I'm kind of doing the more U.S.-based side of things, and I have people there in Africa that are doing the physical distribution. What we did was, initially we thought, okay, so I'm going to be the one that's convincing all these professors in the U.S. and in the EU to allow us to distribute their books, because there's all kinds of copyright problems with that.
Oh, yes.
Yes, definitely. But we were thinking, okay, how do we send these books over? If we're shipping those books, it's going to cost a lot of money. Just international shipping is crazy expensive. And we want to make this as affordable as possible so that we can send these books to as many people as possible. And we kind of reached the decision like, all right, we're going to have a distribution center there. We fundraised money to build a printing center there so that we'd be able to actually print those books there and distribute them instead of having to ship them internationally.
That's smart, and that takes a lot of work. Who else is working on this in the United States with you? Is it a large team? Are they all based in Pittsburgh?
So in the United States, I'm actually the only person. So,
wow.
Yeah. Everyone else is there in Africa, predominantly in Uganda, but we do have some friends from other kind of organizations across Africa that help us as well.
That's a huge responsibility. So you're making, or I guess establishing the relationships with the authors and publishers to arrange for books to be printed in the nations you want to distribute them in.
Exactly, yes.
Wow, that is a lot to do. You've got to be super proud of what you've been able to do.
I mean, it's truly incredible just to see the impact that has on people. One of the activities that we do is we put on like an African Liberty Forum in the summer, and one of my friends there that I work with, Gideon, he sent me information that there was one student who came all the way from Kenya to Uganda, which was an incredibly long trek just to hear the professors that we arranged to meet and to speak there. So people really care about these ideas, and just hearing stories like that, it really empowers me.
What countries are you working with?
Predominantly Uganda, but also Ghana, Kenya, and a few other countries in Africa as well.
I'm also curious, if I may ask you, a bit about your journey to the United States. When, I imagine your family came here.
Yes.
What year was that?
So that was 2014. That's right after the war in Donbass happened.
So you, if you're just tuning in, by the way, this is Liana Kubini. She is a senior at Fox Chapel High School. And in our conversation, she mentioned that her family is from Ukraine. So you yourself came here around the age of 10 or so, it sounds
somewhere
like.
Somewhere around there.
You're 18 now. And I would imagine, in fact, you mentioned that you have friends that are in Ukraine, and it must be horrifying to be thinking of them and worrying about them. Are you able to keep in touch at all?
Yes. Since 2022, it's been very difficult just to think, to even conceive of what's going on there. And I do my best to keep in contact with the people that I know there. My uncle, he is a religious worker in Crimea, so he's seen unrest like quite a bit. And we keep in contact through online messaging sites like WhatsApp. And sometimes like you just can't reach them. But we're lucky in the sense that he lives in a part that's a little bit more calm. And we have been able to reach him and talk. And yeah, it's difficult, but we do everything that we can to keep in contact.
It's difficult, and it's one of those situations where coping can be hard, but because it seems like there's little you can do. It has to feel somewhat powerless. Do you find people wanting, well, do you, some people I think would feel shy about asking you questions like this because they might assume right. You really don't want to talk about it. I'm thinking probably you don't mind talking about it because people need to know and understand directly, but I may be wrong. How do you feel about just sharing the situation with other people?
Well, I'm definitely very passionate about advocating for Ukraine. I think even if you take a very kind of America-centered approach to it, Ukraine is a critical ally for this country. Ukraine has done a lot for this country as well throughout history, and I think it's just so critical for America especially, but also Europe, to stand up for Ukraine. And that starts with people just having everyday conversations. If you if you kind of shut people out from having these kinds of discussions, then you can't really expect them to come around quite as easily. And so I do talk about Ukraine. I find it difficult to kind of talk about the very personal elements of it, but with my friends or even just in Pittsburgh whenever I can, I do advocate for my country, for my homeland. And I've seen people that are extremely passionate about it despite not having any sort of lineage in Ukraine. People that just care for humanity. It's a very human question. It's a very human problem. So it goes beyond politics, in my opinion.
I agree, and you're very wise the way you're thinking through this, and not only reacting to it, but also being proactive regarding what you can do. Now, again, you can learn more about the project that we've been talking about with economics books being made available. Plus, but we haven't talked about the public health aspect of what you're doing. Are those books about general public health issues, hygiene, clean water, those sorts of things?
So most of the books that we do distribute focus on economics, but sometimes we take that economic lens and kind of shine it on public health issues. So we do articulate kind of from the individual. Our whole philosophy starts from the individual and what the individual can do to better their own life. And a part of that is being a healthy person. And so we are very interested in advocating for individualized and kind of decentralized methods for improving health.
So you can learn more at MTIND, and that's the Swahili word for movement, MTINDO, network.org is how you can find out more. And we've also put a link on our website. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the program itself?
The program, the distribution program?
Yeah, yes, or just the work you've done with the program.
Yeah, definitely. If you know of anyone who is interested in economics or professors that are passionate about these ideas, we're constantly looking to expand, to consider different perspectives, to have discussions. We have discussions through Zoom as well, pretty often with that one Hawaiian professor that I mentioned earlier. This is indeed a movement. So the more people that join, the more people that buy into the ideas of individual rights and liberty and so on, the stronger it will be and the more people will prosper.
And what are your plans for post-graduation?
Yeah, so we're in the midst of college applications. It's certainly like the pressure is on to kind of figure out what you want to do with your life. And for me, I'm definitely very interested in continuing on this sort of advocacy work. And I have a deep interest in economics. So while I go to college, I would love to be involved in entrepreneurial ventures that serve the people, and possibly doing some kind of research. Recently, I've been really interested in the idea of super alignment with AI and how that might be impacting workers here in the US and globally. So that would be kind of the next step of this project, is incorporating that super alignment element. But in terms of what I want to study, I'm also interested in medicine. So some kind of cellular and molecular biology would probably be my kind of major.
You've got a lot of options, and whatever you decide this year, you can always go in other directions too. Thank you so much for being with us. It's really fascinating to learn about the program. Again, it's MTINDO, Matindo Network.org. Oleana Kubini, thank you for being with us today.
Last 21 years when I wrote this song, Once my heart was filled with the love of a girl. I held her close, but she faded in the night. Like a poem I meant to write. And the leaves that are green turned to brown.
To New England, the sun slants in
the Saturday Light Brigade, and that is Kristen Scott Benson with When Fall Comes to New England. The Dog Run Boys did The Leaves That Are Green before that. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger. And this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIU.